Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. And welcome to another edition of the National Black Unity News Show. I'm your host, Baba Jahi, and today we have Mr. David Murphy be joining us and Mr. Bill Gooden. And you know, we have some interesting topics we're going to bring to the table to talk about tonight. But as we do each and every time we come on these airwaves, we do as we read from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And today's reading, April the 8th. Go ahead and work it. Let's get busy. Arsenio Hall, talk show host. Magic word is a word that will perform wonders for anyone, regardless of age or calling. For any man, woman, or child, the magic word brings new meaning and usefulness to life. This four-letter word carries with it clarity, self-respect, and satisfaction. The magic word is work. To live life to its fullest translates into work. Years ago, the people of very successful civilization thought they had all of the answers to success. The king called the wisest people in the kingdom together and said, "I want you to write down all the reasons why we are successful. Place them in writing, so future generations will be able to read them and duplicate our successes." They worked frantically for nearly 2 years and came back with the answer. It consisted of 12 volumes. The ruler glanced at it and said, "This is great, but it's too long." He then challenged them to simplify their findings. Worn down and beaten, 6 months later they came back with their findings, confined to one sentence. If all future generations understand this one sentence, they would be in position to conquer anything. The sentence simply read, "There's no such thing as a free lunch. Work gives our lives meaning. Work raises our self-image. Work is victory. So get busy and work with all of your might. Today I will find my way into the world through my work." That is our reading for today, and I think it's a very appropriate reading because we used to say in an organization I was in a long time ago, we used to use the word Kazi. We used to say Kazi is the blackest of all work. Outwork, you know, is the essence to all of what goes on in life. And I tell people all the time, one of the reasons that I'm very, very successful is that I will outwork my opposition. And so I'm very competitive, and I work hard, and at the same time I work hard, I play hard. So, with that said, let's get started on tonight's topics. I understand we want to discuss men and feelings and issues around that topic and different thoughts that are out there. And we have with us on the line Mr. Bill Gooden, who's offered several different books, and I'll let him share, you know, what works he's put out. And we have Mr. David Murphy, the publisher of the National Black Unity News. So with that said, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
Yeah, I'm doing quite fine, well. Brother. How you doing today?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Hi.
Brother Tatavi, as always, man, I appreciate you and for bringing forth this broadcast. It's a powerful format, and it's a much-needed format. And, you know, as I always say, information is power if you use it correctly. And today, as you just mentioned, you know, we want to open up the line and open up our thought patterns to men, you know, I'm talking about feelings, emotions, pain, hurt, happiness, all of these things, which I guess it come under emotions or even under feelings. But, you know, before I introduce my brother, my partner, he and I often have this conversation about, you know, we all of us, matter of fact, Brother Satavi, Brother Bill Gooden, and I, we all rather say we one year apart, so we all came up during the same time frame. And when we was coming up, you know, what was in the atmosphere at that time was that when I was a little boy, it was often told to us that little boys don't pose the cry. It was often said to us, you know, that you can't get your feelings, you don't let your feelings get hurt. You know, you pose a man up, you know, you pose a take it on the chin. You can't be in love, man. You know, you're supposed to go around and do this and do that. You can't get your feelings hurt. Man up, young man, you know. And if you didn't do those things, if you had such feelings that you was hurting or you cared about something passionate or something like that, and if you expressed those type of feelings, then you was kind of ostracized or saying you're less than a man. In other words, to be quite frank, when they say you're a punk, you know, they say you're a sissy. You know, you don't probably run around with feelings like that. Man, don't do that, you know. And so, and I believe, I don't know about anybody else, but a lot of us masquerade our feelings because we didn't want to be ostracized and be called those derogatory names because we had feelings, because maybe we cared about something. Maybe we did hurt. And so, and therefore, after masquerading those feelings, we came out doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We would start fighting. You know, we would get angry. We would do all sorts of things. And a lot of us in my age group came up with those type of feelings, and it's a tragic result behind this. Excuse me, gentlemen. But, you know, the tragic result is that as I grew up, I've come to find out a lot of brothers end up in jail because of their failure, because they didn't know how to deal with their family. A lot of brothers has hurt women behind their failure. And unfortunately, there's a host of brothers who actually did because of their failings. And so, as Brother Satavi just mentioned, I publish a newspaper called the National Black Unity News. And it's a powerful publication, and it's a type of publication where it's solution-oriented. But before I get into that, I just want to jump into this topic that we're going to talk about. We have today with us my partner, the editor-in-chief of the National Black Unity News, Mr. Bill Gooden. And before I bring the brother on, you know, I want to share some information about this brother from my perspective. Brother Bill, he and I go back, I don't know how many years, I know it's over 20-something, but he and I was back in the day, I like to categorize us as soldiers. You know, we was out there on the battlefield trying to achieve freedom for our people. And before I even met Bill personally, his reputation preceded him. I used to go around, I used to publish a newspaper called The Informer, and every time I would place it in one of the businesses in Baltimore City, I would see this another publication they called Fighting Back. And I would pick it up and read it, and then one day I happened to be at an event, and I actually met the brother. And he and I dialogued, and we had a lot in common, not only because we were publishers, but we was out there fighting for freedom, but we had a matter of fact, Brother Satavi as well. We had this one gentleman by the name of Mr. Robbie Clay. And to all of us, he was like our mentor. You know, he was just a good, true, down-earth brother who also was a soldier. But in any case, Bill and I got to dialogue, and we had a lot in common. And so I know this brother's a true soldier because, like I said, he paid the fort, he put in the work. and he continued to do so. Not only is he the one who actually encouraged me to publish the National Black Unity News, and just recently, this brother, man, I'm gonna let him tell his own story, but I'm just say this, man. If you don't believe in God, you know, sometimes people say, show me a sign, show me this, this, that. Well, I myself, people, you know, people who've been listening to this broadcast, I have no shame in my game when it comes to God. Because even the national, I said, Bill encouraged me, but the final analysis is this. The National Black Unity News is divinely inspired. And when I say divinely inspired, it comes from God. And unfortunately, my brother, because I know he probably not, that's why I'm saying these things, because I know he probably won't say these things. But the brother, Bill Gooden, in the last year or so, been through some serious heartbreaks. We talking about family now. The brother lost his wife. And I witnessed this brother go through the ups and downs while his wife was sick. And I actually witnessed this brother stood by his wife's side for months. I mean, stayed at the hospital every day. Every day. And stood by his wife's side until she went on to her reward. And I also noticed something else, too. You know, I was actually with the brother. He happened to meet someone. He had a lot of interest in, but I'm not going to get into all the details about that. But I do know at that particular time, God was working in the midst of all of this. And so in the last 6 months, I actually witnessed, and I don't know how many people could do this. I kind of often kind of teased the brother. I said, you probably the first brother who had ever written 4 books in 6 months. And he actually had 2 of them published already. And 1 just went off to the press today. That's 3. We would have back, and this brother is like, I don't know what, like I say, from my perspective, he's divinely inspired as well. And so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into subject matter of feelings and emotions and passion and all of this, these feelings that, you know, we suppose or may not suppose not to have. Brother Bill Gooden, I want to welcome you to the show, sir.
Well, first of all, man, let me just say hello to both of you brothers. And, you know, I was listening to you. I'm saying, well, I don't know what to say after you just said all that. I mean,
well, you got a lot to say, but trust me.
Well, you know, basically, you know, let me just say this. You know, first of all, you know, thank you, Brother Satari. But, you know, first of all, Dave, you know, when you're talking about the books that I've been fortunate enough to publish, I mean, you know, I always tell you all the time, you know what I mean? You know, I've been fortunate because also, you know, I have been blessed by the skills that you have. So, you know, I mean, in my opinion, you know, I mean, when you say that I wrote a couple books, I mean, you know, in my opinion, it's like we both done it, even though I done most of the writing, but all the other aspects, then you created. So I just want to, you know, first of all, put that on there. You know, but I mean, you know, listen, I don't think it's no secret, you know, man, I think that you said it up front. Lots of times, man, you know, as man, you know, and I guess that, you know, we could say black man, since we happen to be of the, you know, African-American race, then, you know, lots of times we don't want to display our feelings. Well, you know, in the books that we created is basically about love affairs between people and, you know, of course, in our books, and we kind of used 2 older people since that I'm a senior myself, so I just thought it would be best to try to create a character of a woman that was also a senior. And, you know, sometimes we just don't look in terms of how we hurt one another or how a man do hurt in reference to relationships, because I guess a lot of times so many other ways that we kind of play our feelings out. You know, we may go get drunk, we may go get high, we may go and go do something stupid, but a lot of times we just don't want people to know that we're hurting because we just feel that we shouldn't put our feelings on display for other people to witness our hurt and our suffering because of relationships.
Yes, and I'm 100% on board with that. But I want to get a little deep in this subject matter. I'm talking based on the books that you've written.
Right.
Now, I'm gonna say the titles of a couple of the books. First one is it's called Cold Bitch 1, and the second one is Cold Bitch 2, and the other one is Blues Bleeding Heart. And we just went sent out today in words of Yeti, which is Bill's wife. And Bill, give me the source of your inspiration for writing these books.
Well, you know, listen, Dave, first and foremost, I'm going to just say this. I mean, you know, you may mention come May 27th, my wife being passed for a year. So, you know, of course, you know, I certainly have to say it had a lot to do with my wife's death. And, of course, you know, people read the books and they will see my wife in every book. You know, but then, of course, you know, I mean, you know, since my wife's death, I mean, you know, I have, you know, I've talked to a few females here and there and been out and, you know, just in terms of engaging in conversation with different females and, you know, having the opportunity to go out with a few of them. And I guess, you know, based upon the experience and the suffering and the pain from my wife, then it all came together in terms of that. You know, sometimes a man can love a woman more than what a woman love him. You know what I'm saying? And I think that any of us, if it's man or woman, and we've been rejected by somebody that we want to love or somebody that we really into, then, you know, rejections is always hard to take. So, you know, I mean, so not from being just, you know, the hurt from my wife, then it became kind of a personal. Because as I was suffering and hurting for my wife, and I kind of understood the need sometimes just to have somebody else in your life to kind of help you to get over some of the hurting and suffering that you go through, you know. So, you know, so I think you know, when we came up, and I'm saying we, Dave, because when we came up with the title Cold Bitch, even though initially I came up with it, but then we talked about it, you, myself, as well as I had another lady that I had sent a couple chapters to, and we just thought that Cold Bitch would have been a very attractive title in terms of a marketing strategy, you know, because, I mean, you know, I just want to make it clear that even though the book called Cold Bitch, then it was never our attempt or our desire to publicly, you know, try to relate to women as bitches or cold bitches. It was basically we were just trying to come up with a name that was catchy for promoting marketing strategies, and at the same time trying to use a name to describe a hurt. Because if you're hurting, you know, and you're really hurting, then, you know, it's hard to try to come up with names like, man, I feel like sunshine, you know what I'm saying? Because you say you feel like sunshine, then, you know, it's kind of letting people feel that, hey, you know, you're feeling pretty good, you know what I'm saying? But you say, man, I feel like shit, then, you know what I mean, people kind of interpret it another way. So I just want people to be clear in terms of that, you know, the word bitch was used purposely in terms of a marketing strategy opposed to trying to use the word to call women bitches.
Okay. And we're going to dig a little deeper now, if you don't mind, because, you know, I'm going to cast the first stone. And is this. You know, I don't have no problem talking about myself because I think my journey is a remarkable one. And I say remarkable because I have overcame a multitude of obstacles. My emotions and my feelings has been stretched to the limits on many occasions. And I've been deeply hurt so many times in my lifetime, and most of the time was self-inflicted. And but I was able to dig so deep into the emotion, almost to the deepest end. And when I say the deepest end, you know, when a person hurts so bad, one of the ultimate things that they can do to hurt themselves is to commit suicide. And I even in my younger days when I was hurting so bad, the thought that came to my mind on numerous occasions, and I even as a young man attempted to do so. And of course it didn't happen, but that's just how far the emotion has went. But then on the other side of the spectrum, I have been to what they call bliss, where you so much joy and happiness in your life that it's hard to even contain it. I used to drink a lot when I was young, but you know, there was a point in my life I was so happy, I would be extremely so overpowered with joy and love in my life that almost it was called being drunk in the spirit. I used to be so, I mean, it just overtakes you sometimes. So I said it to say that I've been from one spectrum to the other and every darn thing in between. And most of the time, especially during the times when I was on the spectrum of hurting deeply inside, I self-medicated. I took it out in turn. I didn't take it out on too many other people, but unfortunately, hurting people hurts people. And I didn't know at the time, but I would end up hurting myself. I was hurting my family members. I was hurting my community. I was hurting my people by my display of not knowing how to handle my emotions. And like I say, it's no shame in my game because, my journey is extreme, like I say, is remarkable. And I do know, you know, Brother Satawi and Brother Bill, all of us, you know, I had dialogue with both of you brothers, and we have gotten some serious deep conversations about emotions and feelings. And I do know these two brothers, you know, they men, they straight up men. But they also are true men because they share, you know, we had talked about our feelings, our hurt and our pain, our ups and our downs, our ins and our outs. And I do know this, men hurt. Even when I was coming up during the ranks, most of the guys I used to pile around with, they were 10, 12 years older than me. And them brothers used to almost cry on my shoulder, you know, because they knew I wouldn't spill the beans, so to speak. I wouldn't snitch. I wouldn't tell anybody about our private conversations. But them brothers was hurting. They were hurting because they didn't know how to. They had such difficult time because you know what's going on, what time it is. Even to this day, discrimination, we don't get the same opportunities everybody else gets in this country. We don't have privileges like other folks have. So we have to dig a little deeper, work a little harder just to get peanuts sometimes, just the crumbs off the table. And a lot of these brothers, man, they had families and they was hurting. They just didn't know how to do so. They would sit around drinking and drugging. And they would actually hurt people sometimes because they didn't know how to deal with their emotions. And I noticed that all of my life about men. My father was a man who was a powerful man, but I watched his demise that he hurt it so bad. He even told me one time that he apologized to me. He said, son, I'm so sorry that I wasn't man enough to raise you to be a man. Because he had left us when I was 11 years old. And he almost cried on my shoulder as well. And he was saying how society, when he was what I call a Renaissance man, you know, back in the day, he had 2 years of college. And when he came to town, you know, they beat him down. He ended up being an alcoholic. You know, he had 8 children. And he didn't know how to deal. So but that's why, the pain got the best of him. They like the pain get the most of black men. But I am so pleased right now. I'm going to tell my brother openly and honestly. Like I say, a lot of times we don't share our passion and our feelings. I'm going to say this about my brother Bill. I am so pleased because this brother stepped up. Like I said, he's a soldier. He's a frontline soldier. And he stepped up to the plate again. And he shared through these books that I mentioned earlier about a lot of emotion. Most men will not talk about, or even will not even admit to. But it takes a certain type of man to, you know, step up to the plate and to express their feelings, to show it's all right, because men do have feelings. Every man out there know they got feelings, know they hurting, but they will dare not admit, especially in front of other men, especially in front of women, even more so in front of women. So therefore, we run around here masquerading most of the time. And when I read the words of some of the books my brother Bill had written, man. It, like I said, it took me on a roller coaster ride because it takes you to one extreme, how a man can hurt. But like I said, but on the other extreme, it shows how much a man can love. And so in these books, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you so much. You know, we're ready to market these books, and I think it's going to open up a world of dialogue between men and women and between men and men and men and boys, which need to be discussed because a lot of us, as I said before, are in jail. We are killing each other because we don't know how to deal with our emotions. And so back to you, Brother Bill, let me just say to ask you this question. With people, I don't know, I publish a newspaper, and yeah, and I assisted you with a lot to do with the book, but the words that was written in these books came from you. And I read these books and the characters in the books. And I actually kind of asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you again. Explain to the listening audience what the basis of this book, of the book. What I'm saying is, what is I'm not trying to say get the end result, but what is the basis for you writing these books?
Well, first of all, Dave, I think you said it all. I mean, it's truly about emotions and pain and suffering and hurt and the desire to be happy and want to be happy and lonely and trying to deal with all them feelings in terms of trying to keep yourself alive, because like you said, look, man, if people don't have outlets, then sometimes people do crazy things. You know, people kill people, people kill themselves. You don't know how to deal with the pain and the suffering that you go through in life. So, you know, like I say, fortunately my wife, you know, like I was telling you earlier, you know, I mean, my wife done hell, almost everything for me. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Basically, she bought clothes for me. I mean, she paid the bills. I mean, she did so many things. And, you know, you never really realize how much you rely on a person until a person is gone. You know, so, I mean, hey, sometimes, you know, you be trying to find ways to fill the void. You go out with different people trying to fill the void. And sometimes you can get attached more than what you need to get attached. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, let me use this for example. You know, all of us listen to music. But, you know, when we listen to music, we're hearing it different. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but like in Isaac Hayes' song, I Stand Accused, you know what I mean? It's one line there, man, I really like when he say, well, listen, you know, it's like being in quicksand. The more you wiggle, the deeper you sink. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he was just saying in terms of his love in terms of a woman that he's into. But, I mean, that's just how deep it is. When we write or when we look at television, and, you know, to come back to even the word a bitch, you know, we go to the movies and we hear people using bitch and, you know, depends on how they use it, we could laugh at it or whatever because it's supposed to be a comedy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, when you use it in other ways in terms of just trying to express hurt or trying to come up with some strong words to express suffering and pain, then, you know, you come up with a word. So, you know, I mean, listen, you know, so getting directly to the question you asked, let me just say it like this in terms of to simplify it. You know, I'm hurting and I was hurting. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, when you're hurting, then you have to decide what are you going to do with your hurt if you can't find no way to satisfy your hurt. You know what I'm saying? Or try to calm it down. You know, so do you go out there, you get drunk? Do you go and get you some drugs and get high? You know, do you go and do something stupid? You know, and, you know, for myself, you know, and I thank God all the time. I tell you this all the time, Dave. You know, I thank God all the time that God gave me other outlets. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? You know, having the ability to sit and write allow you the opportunity to write all them hurtings down that you hurting. And even as you're hurting, then you can help other people that's hurting. Because there's one thing about hurt and suffering, Dave. It's just like happiness. You know, look, you don't have the key to happiness and you don't have the key to suffering. You know, you got millions of people, man, going through the same stuff you're going through. You know what I'm saying? But everybody can't do what you do. Everybody can't do what Brother Styra do. Everybody can't do what Bill Gooden do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we singing songs, and they can go and get our album, and they can listen to how we sing. But, hell, we write the newspaper, and then they can pick up our newspaper, and they get benefit from the stories that they get from the newspaper in terms of the good things that people are doing. So when it comes to writing book, if it's a book about how you're dealing with suffering or whatever, like a self-help book, you know what I'm saying? Because I like to describe it as medicine, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Even though we run to doctors and run to pharmacists to get medicine, but sometimes, man, look, the right words is medicine. You know what I'm saying? That's the opportunity we have in terms of being writers, is that we can give people words that could encourage them and get them over the hump and let them see another day. So the basis for the books, man, is strictly like you said. It's about pain and suffering. You know what I mean? It's not no way to dress it up and say, well, if it's about a particular woman or, you know, is this and that. I mean, of course, you know, it's people involved. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is about pain, suffering, and hurt. You know what I'm saying? So how do you deal with your pain, suffering, and hurt? You know what I'm saying? So we had a way to deal with it where, hey, we put it in words and we put it in a formula. A book is almost like a blueprint, man. You know what I mean? Somebody else could read the blueprint and we could save somebody else's life because they may not know how to deal with it the way that you deal with it. But if they pick up your book, if they pick up your paper, if they pick up your album, then we may save them because we gave them some relief through some of what they was going through.
Wow, that's powerful, brother. Powerful. I see that we at the top of the hour, and we're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to take a break. But I just want to remind people that the books that we are speaking about will be available. Some of them already are available, and we'll give you some information how you get how you can get access to the books. But right now, I'm going to tell you a little something about another powerful written word. The National Black Unity News. The National Black Unity News and its concept is solution-oriented. It's for us and it's by us. When I say us, I mean black people, African American, indigenous people, melanated people, whatever you call yourself. You know, we have little things about titles and stuff, but you know what I'm talking about, people, black people. And in this country, like I often tell people, we own less than 1% of the media. And so the National Black Unity News, as well as this broadcast, is still a voice. It's a small voice, but we are being heard. And we are making differences just by the conversation we're having right now. Because like Brother Bill just mentioned, you never know who's listening, who's hurting, and this could be a format. This could be an out for you. If you pick up, this could be solutions for you to your hurting pains or to your solutions, whatever you're going through. And so I encourage everyone, you can go online and go to www.thenationalblackunitynews.com or you can call 443-455-2373, the National Black Unity News. We have a hot, straight off the press, new issue. It's the April, May, June issue. I think that's what it is, April, May, June. And I encourage you to get your copy today. You can even, like I say, read it online or you can subscribe to the publication. We will send the publication to your home or office. If you're here in the United States, you can get a copy. And I know Brother Satire, as I said, back to you, sir. The top of that, if you want to share more information, and we're going to continue this conversation right after Brother Satavi finish. Okay, back to you, sir.
All right, thank you, David. Yes, and people, you know, I encourage people to pick up a copy of National Black Unity News newspaper, in which you'll see a section in there on travel. My wife and I, we are the national travel editors for the newspaper, and we went on a trip this past weekend. That's why I wasn't at the breakfast. We went on Tony Browder's trip that he has, and called it a field trip because it's a work session, and it's called Egypt on the Potomac. And, you know, wow, I just learned so much being on that trip this past weekend. And, you know, that's topic for another show, but also want to let people know that this show is brought to you by The Vortex. You might say, well, what is The Vortex? The Vortex is your very online consumer booking engine that will save you on your travel, save you on your hotels, your car rentals, your resort stays, and different type of activities such as scuba diving, horseback riding, activities like that once you are at a resort. And you can get your very own free copy of The Vortex by going to www.mymyvortex365.com/MU Group, MUGROUP. And you go there, it will allow you to create a free account. You can use your Facebook login to create your account, or you can just put in your name, your email address. It'll send you a link to your email address. And when you get that link, click it, open it up, and you have your free account. And all we ask you to do is when you take your first trip and you say, send us back a selfie of you enjoying yourself on that trip and how much you save. And, you know, we'd be more than happy to publish that in the newspaper. We just recently published our article and our section in the newspaper of one of our Vortex clients who took a trip last year to Jamaica. They had a great and wonderful time. They went with them. They went, and their two nieces went with them. And they, you know, they read the article in the paper, and you find out more about their exciting trip and all the wonderful things that they was able to do. But the most important thing is, for you out there listening, you want to save money, make sure you create yourself a free Vortex account in which, again, you will save on your hotel stay, your car rentals, your also your cruises, all of those different type of activities and activities such as scuba diving, horseback riding, and those type of activities that you can take at a resort. So with that said, it ends our commercial break time, and we're going to go back to our content time. We've got like about 23 minutes left, and so let's dive back into the second half with our content.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something, Brother Satavi, while we're on this subject, man. Like I said, oftentimes, you and I, we get in some deep conversation about emotions and feelings as men. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you feel comfortable with certain people, you can share information with, you know, because we still undercover. When I say undercover, you know, we have to be extremely careful who you talk to sometimes, because like I said, otherwise would be seen as a weakness or less than. So what is your take on about men and their emotions and their feelings and how we suppress it or how we use it as an outlet to do other things? What is your take on that, sir?
Well, I think, you know, that's a very important topic to deal with. My own personal take on that is there's been times, you know, in my life where, again, as I was told growing up, you're not supposed to cry. And so, you know, that bothered me for a long time because, you know, hey, I had feelings and emotions and, you know, and be wanting to cry. Cause, you know, you just hurt. I think about the time when I went off in the Navy, and my first girlfriend, who I took to both of my proms, and I came back home from being away, she had had a baby by somebody else. And, wow. You know, that was very, very painful. You know, I mean, because, you know, we were like inseparable in high school, man. I mean, and in fact, people to both my prom, junior prom and senior prom, and I never forget, you know, visiting her one time, and her father asking me, her little sister had mentioned to her father that, you know, that we had kissed. And father said, you know, what are you doing kissing my daughter? You know, it was like, Mr. Crawford, you know, I'm fumbling and mumbling, you know, for words simply because that was like, you know, you needed to really be on a serious level with somebody to even, you know, kiss them because that was going to be, if per automatic figure, that's going to lead to something else. And in our case, it didn't lead to nothing else because, as I said, I went in the Navy. And, you know, we had talked about getting married, and we didn't have sex or anything like that before I went in the Navy simply because, you know, her thing was, you know, she was going to save herself for me. And unfortunately, when I came back home from being away, you know, she had gotten pregnant and had a baby by somebody else. So that sort of crushed me. That was a big, big crush. Took me through a lot of emotional changes. You know, I cried about it. I was deeply hurt behind that. And that was my first time of having to deal with emotions in relationship to, like I said, the time we were teenagers. So I can't say a woman, but a woman to be. And, you know, it took me through a lot of changes that I've had situations later on in life where, you know, me and you, we had talked about it where feeling, you know, inadequate as a provider because our main role is to provide and protect. And, you know, not being able to feel as though to adequately do that, you know, it actually contemplated suicide. But it takes a lot of courage to kill oneself, you know, because I just never could muster up the strength to do that. But I'm glad that I got through that period in my life, you know, so that I have more and more reason to live every day now, excited about living, simply because when you take yourself out, all you're doing is taking a short-term solution to a problem that you're going to leave other people behind to have to deal with, and people be asking, you know, did y'all see any signs? What, you know, what made him do that? Why did he do that? And all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's you know, it's a very, very touchy topic, and. You know, one that the real men need to find a way to discuss and deal with, especially when it comes to the emotions of love and everything else. And it's like right now, you know, if something was to happen to my wife, you know, hey, I honestly don't know how I would be able to handle all of that, you know, so. So hey, I my hats go off, and you know, commend Bill for however he got through what he had to get through, and however he moved forward, and just wish him the best, and glad he didn't do nothing drastic like, you know, hey, my wife is gone. Let me go ahead and take my life too. So glad you're still here, Brother Bill.
Well, thank you there. And, you know, what's interesting, Dave, is that, you know, it's three of us on the line, but all of us have thought about suicide at one point. So, you know, I mean, it's obvious, man, you know, and we're just talking about just the three of us. So, you know, can you imagine how many other brothers and men is out there that have thought the same type of thing that we're thinking? And, of course, you know, thankful to God, then none of us done it. But, you know, let me also mention this here, Dave, since we're talking. Because, you know, it was a book that I read a few months back called The Mission Unstoppable. And it was one quote in the book, man, that just kind of stuck to me. You know, that's how books and sometimes papers and certain writings and music do you. but was a lion in there. But when this guy, his wife was gonna get a divorce, but he really wasn't ready to get a divorce. But he had a line there that said that, in order to realize how much he loved her, then he needed to set her free. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that was a heavy line. You know what I'm saying? I mean, saying that, look, man, even though I don't want to let you go, but because I love you so much, I'm going to let you go.
Wow, that's deep. That's real deep.
Yeah,
you know, brothers. Like you just mentioned, Brother Bill, it's just three of us on this line right now, and we seasoned brothers, soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
But like I often tell people, we had the battle scars to prove it more than anybody would ever see. You see the outward stuff sometimes, but you know there's deeper things within us that you know that we had to deal with internally that people would never ever know. And so, you know, as we journey through, especially being black men, you know, we have a special living in the United States. It's just something different because we are not what you call as privileged as other folks in this country. So therefore, like Brother Satai was just saying, you know, being the provider, you know, in this society, they often take women before they take a black man. And they used to say they could kill two birds with one stone by harming a woman and a black person, by harming a woman. And that's another form of keeping us separated. Put the woman on top and, demasculate the man or reduce him down to nothing. And
right.
And that often has been a plan for us. Back in the day, back in slavery time. We used to talk about how these pants be hanging down on some of our young men's butts and stuff like that. But there was a time in history where slave masters would go so far as to rape a man and then force him to go around with his pants down to let his wife, his children, and the other black people know that his manhood has been taken from him. It's all types of extremes that take place out here. And I'm not beating up on men, you know, because like I say, you know, we're just part of the equation. But, and I'm going to flip this a little bit. Now, I know there's a lot of women who's listening in. And I know it's kind of trendy to say all men are dogs, especially black. We dogs, we this. You know, sometimes we get categorized in lumps or things sometimes. But there's a multitude of men. You see three right here on this line right now. We have personal feelings who genuinely care about us as a people. We care about our women. And we care about our society and our communities. But yet we still hurt, and we get hurt often. But there's a flip side to the equation, too. You know, that's the truth, because they say the truth will make you free. And we all have to fuss. Just like the three of us on here, we fussing up us. Like I say, yeah, we hurt, and we have all types of outlets that we use. And most of the outlets that we use are not good. But thank God for people like Brother Bill, who put it, he pinned his hurt and pains down so others can see, or like you say, a format or a formula to stop other brothers from hurting, and let other brothers know that you're not going through this thing by yourself. Sometimes we take the load so heavy, we think it's just us. But like I say, God created us this way, to be emotional, feeling people. But also, we get stigmatized in a lot of areas, but there's also our women. The most hurting thing to a black man is when a woman, our women, put us down and not knowing what we are going through, not knowing the journey that we as men have to take sometimes. We just like any other man, we want to provide for our family. We want to have our wives have the best of everything, just like any other man wants to. But like I said, when you live in society, that's not making no excuse, because a lot of women will say, oh, y'all just using an excuse. You need to do this, you need to do that. But until you walk into another person's shoes, and you could never, if you're a woman, you could never walk in a man's shoes, because you'll never, ever know. But as the truth be told, there has been time when men has showed their affection to women, especially black women. And now y'all get mad at me all you want to, but I'm just sharing my emotion. But men can show true affection to a woman, and they take that affection and use it just like a lot of, like men have done to each other, and use it as weakness. So when a man say he loves you, he wants to be with you. And how a lot of women will say, well, I want me a bad boy. I want somebody going to dog me. And the good guys who come along, they get tossed aside. And so, you know, so if a man, ladies, please listen to me. I may not be wording this right, but you have to understand, this is what this whole conversation is about. We hurt too. And it hurts even more. It hurts more than anything else when our women put us down. And all we're trying to do is show true love and affection. All I'm saying, just be a little sensitive to our needs as well. We're not as hard as society tries to make us. We have emotions and feelings just like you. And the worst thing can happen, even as little boys, and I know all these brothers on this line can attest to that. When we ever did get the courage to walk up to a little girl back in the day, because it took a lot of mustering up to do sometimes, to walk up to a little girl and show a little bit of affection, and then the first thing she does is reject you, hurt you, embarrass you, most men will be scarred behind that. I know I was. And to make you kind of shell-shocked, to show that emotion again. And a lot of women say, well, they had a boyfriend that dug them, and you say, y'all carried it into all these other relationships. Well, it happened to us as well. So we have to be a little bit more sensitive to each other. And a lot of women out here is saying they want a good man, but most good men come along sometimes. You know, they get, you know, oh, well, he ain't hard enough. He ain't this and he ain't that. But, you know, all I'm saying is just be a little sensitive. Okay, I'm going to get back to some of the books. You know, Brother Bill, you know, I'm just finishing up the book, Blue Bleeding Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I also read Cold Bitch 2.
Right.
And like I said, we got one already going, already at the printers, and another one will be coming. Cold Bitch 1 will be coming out soon. So I'm encouraging you. No, right now, it is extremely to have every one of these books. But, you know, no matter where you start, get one of the books because it's extremely interesting reading. Because it talks about love. It covers so many different areas. You know, it talks about senior love. It talks about general love. It talk about black love. It talk about the emotion. Talk about being on the mountaintop as well as being in the valley. It talks about solutions. You know, it's just opened up a great dialogue for men and women to have conversation with. Because this would be a great conversation that we have some women on the line right now, and we could just go back. It would take a long time, but you know. Because, like I say, oftentimes, most of the shows out here, you see the women expressing themselves. But it's extremely rare when you see men talking about true. Now, I'm just talking about not putting on the front. I'm talking about true emotions, true feelings, true love. And I think when this book, you know, starts circulating, it's going to open. It will open up a lot of dialogue, and I think the dialogue that we all need to take, especially for our young men, because as we started off in this conversation, I was talking about when we were young, how we had to man up, how we had to hide our emotions, and so therefore we were damaged even from the beginning because we was living a lie, because we did hurt, we did cry, we did have feelings and passion just like anybody else, but we were told to hide it. Deny it. And so I encourage you to get these books because, like I said, it's a powerful read. It would open up a dialogue, but most of all, it will open up understanding. And see, once you have understanding, then you're able to tolerate each other a little bit more so. And so, Brother Bill, I know we don't have much time left, but I want you to share a little bit of information about some of the several books so that people not only share a little bit about the books, but, you know, I know we don't have much time, but how can they get the books? You know, so if you please, sir.
Yeah, let me just say one thing, too, man, because, I mean, listening to you, you know, I mean, you know, my mind was running. But, you know, I mean, even in terms of the book, and even though it kind of in the books is basically dealing with senior relationships, because I guess I'm an older man, I'm a senior, you know. But I mean, you know, it almost comes to like, you know, learn how to handle money. If somebody don't teach you how to handle money when you're young, then you grow old not knowing how to handle money. So, you know, I'm saying that to say this, you know, if older people do not set the example for younger people in terms of relationships, then they have a lot of broken relationships because they don't know how to really deal in a real relationship. You know, so, I mean, I think that, the books kind of do that, David. You know, it kind of gives people opportunity, man, that, you know, as older people, then we still trying to teach people how to properly deal with relationships. You know, now, in terms of people getting the books, of course, you know, they could go to my email, which is Bill Gooden, BillGoodin at Verizon.net, or either they could just simply give me a call at 410-746-3607.
Okay. And by the way, I'm the one who actually going to be building the website. So that's it's in progress right now. And so we will have, you know, we're going to have a future conversation about this, because I think it would be great when we, you know, continue this dialogue to bring some of the sisters on with us. And let's have a general conversation, you know, and because, like I say, every journey begins with the first step. And I appreciate you, Brother Bill, because you took some giant steps, brother.
I appreciate you too, Dave. I appreciate you too, man.
Yeah, like they told us, the man up, that's just what you did with these books, but you're showing people not the way we was taught. Like I say, the truth will make you free. And so you share some serious emotions in this and these books. And I want to share something else, man. You know, this old saying, you give people the roses while they live. I happened today. See, this is what I'm talking about. See, a lot of people don't know this about men. I'm sitting over Brother Bill's house right now. We just sent off a book. It's about the diary that his wife left. And it's called In Yeti's Words. And Brother Bill said, you know, I mean, I have to put this out, man. This is a legacy about my wife, man. His wife is dead and gone, but Brother Bill is out here right now. Took her diary and put it in a book form, so that other people can benefit from it. Because his wife was educated. She touched a lot of people's lives. But see, this is thanks. See, most men, like I said, this is emotion. This men emotion coming out to the forefront. And see, we don't get the accolades for this kind of stuff, because, like I said, they categorize us in so many other derogatory forms. But we're going to change that narrative right now, because we're going to take this book and we're going to shout it. Because, like I say, too many of our young men and women are dying in the streets because they don't know how to deal with their emotions. Too many people are doing all kinds of unsavory things to each other because they do not know how to deal with their passions and stuff, you know. And so it needs to be talked about, because, like I say, the truth will make you free. And so, Brother Satavi, man, this has been a great honor. I know this album so fast, but there was so much more I wanted to say. But, Brother Bill, man, one brother to another, I appreciate you and have much love and respect for you, sir.
Same here, my man. Same here.
And Brother Satavi, man, I appreciate you sharing, man, because, like I said, you're a true soldier. And, man, and you're still on the front line through it all, you know, battle scars and everything, man. And I have much, like I say, much love and respect for you as well, sir. And so, you know, okay. So Brother Satavi, and Brother Bill, man, I appreciate you both, man. And we ain't finished yet. We just beginning. And so y'all get ready, because information is power if you use it correctly. We're going to bring some powerful information to you. you just, like I say, we ain't talking about sitting back. We all in our 60s at retirement age, but we ain't sitting down. We just beginning. And so get ready because, like I said, we got work to do, and we're still soldiers. We're still on the front lines, and I just thank God I'm still in the service. So back to you, Brother Satawi.
All right, all right. I want to thank everybody that tuned in to this show, whether you're listening to it live or you listen to it in the archives. And as we do each and every time that we close this show out, we're going to close it out about a theme song called "It's My Time." It's my time to clear my destiny. Wake up and make it what you want to be. Listen to the lyrics, and we want to thank everybody, the 47,000-plus listeners who have listened to a show here on Home Base Business 101, truly making this listener-supported radio. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you.